हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेर वी डिस्कस यस्टरडे द कर्मयोगम चैप्टर, अर्जुन आस्क्ड द क्वेश्चन टू कृष्ण दैट तंकिम कर्मणि घोरे माम नियोजयसि केशव, वाई शुड आई एंगेज इन दिस वॉर? That was Arjuna's question, wasn't it? So, and he said, Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhim mohayasivami tadegam vadanischitya yena shrayohim apniyam. That yena shrayohim apniyam, what is good for me, please tell me. That's what he's saying, shreyasa. So, in answer to that, Krishna started talking. He says, logesmin dividanishta. This is what we were talked so far. Logesmin dividanishta puraproktam ayanakam. ज्ञानयोगेन सांख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां, वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट, ज्ञानयोगेन सांख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां, टू प्रोसेसेस कृष्ण सेज एग्जिस्टेड ऑल टाइम थ्रूआउट द क्रिएशन, थ्रूआउट ऑल द टाइम्स थ्रूआउट द क्रिएशन. सो ज्ञानयोगेन सांख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां, वी सो व्हाट दैट मीन्स, इज़न्ट इट? ज्ञानयोगम मीन्स वन हू हैज दैट कंप्लीट टोटल रियलाइजेशन दैट आई एम नॉट दिस बॉडी, आई एम नॉट द सो, आई एम नॉट द मैटर, I'm not mind, I'm not intelligence, I'm not senses, none of this. I am completely proper identification with the soul. One who has come to that platform, for him, or who has fixed up in that position, he doesn't have any karma to perform in this world. He is free from the karma. Karma is over. That is jnana yoga in a sankhyana. But then, we also seen that it's not possible for everybody. That's only for very, very, very few people who can do that. So therefore, Krishna brought the second option, karma yogena yoginam. That engage in karmam, but that karmam should be executed in such a way. Karmam is a disease actually. We must not think that it's something good thing. It's a disease in the body. When you get the material body, along with that, karmam also comes as a disease. So that disease, how to get rid of that disease, that is this karma yoga. Using the same thing, karmam itself, how to get rid of karmam from once. To getting rid of karmam is karma yogam actually. Karma Yoga means nothing but get rid of that karma, what we have created ourselves. So that's why Krishna is saying Karma Yogena Yoginam. And an introduction to that, Krishna said in the next verse, what did he say? Na karmanam anarambhan, naishkarmyam purushasnude, naja sanyasana deva siddhim samadigachadi. That verse we have seen yesterday. Krishna is saying, na karmanam anarambham, that by staying out of karmam, it is not possible. Unless it has happened to you in a natural way, that you are able to come out of karmam. Natural way means that by realizations, if it has happened to you due to some experiences in life or due to some shocks in life, sometimes we get to that understanding that this is all useless, this world, activities in this world. We come to that understanding. It can happen in rare cases. It may not happen to general class of people. So he says here, that is, in that case, he says, na karmanam anarambham naishkarmyam purushasnute, that by not starting any karma, you are not going to escape from that. What I mean is, by willpower, you cannot do that. That's not possible through willpower. And Krishna also, we are talking about that. We mentioned about that great jnanis who have followed this path in the past throughout the history. So their understanding, we discussed about that devotee, Janaki. Mother Janaki, she was fully conscious of these things, and her conflict inside developed. Once a conflict develops inside, spiritual life won't go. It will stop there. If you have conflicts inside, it has to be very clear. Otherwise, you cannot go further in spiritual life. So what happened to her was that she had this conflict, that on the one hand, she has complete realization that the truth is the soul, and to be fixed on that platform is perfection of life, and that's what she was aiming at. On the other hand, her householder life, garhasya jividam or grasa ashramam, was pulling her back in the other direction. Which direction to go? This was her doubt inside. So in answer to that, Maharshi told him that the thing what you are taking shelter, that has to be always an eternal thing. If you take anything which is temporary, if you take shelter of something which is temporary, which means material nature, family, material body, material wealth, all these things are temporary things in this world, isn't it? So by taking shelter of any one of them, we will end up in problems. Shelter has to be, as long as we take shelter, it has to be something which has to be eternal, which should not, at any circumstances, it should lose its power. It should always in powerful position. And that's only one thing, that's the soul. That's Krishna. The soul is the only thing that is eternal. So shelter should be of something that is permanent. Vyavaharam, or in other words, our transactions in this world, can be temporary matters. That is a temporary thing. So if you take shelter of that which is temporary, and if you do vyavaharam, business, with something which is permanent, that will cause problems. Mostly that's what's happening, isn't it? We are taking shelter of our material existence in this world, and we are trying to do business with Krishna. That will not work. That will always end up in failure. There is no point in complaining afterwards, Krishna didn't do this, Krishna didn't, because we ourselves have created that situation. Because if you start doing business with Krishna, in other words, Nityavastu means it is eternally existing, that business will not leave us afterwards. That business will not leave us afterwards. That is the, what is the nature of a permanent thing? Permanent thing is, whatever you join along with that, it will also become permanent. Krishna is permanent thing. Krishna is eternal, always existing. If we start doing business with Krishna, because Krishna is eternal, our business will also become eternal with Krishna. This is the problem, that we don't understand this. That's why through karmam, when we are engaged in karma yogam, if these fundamental principles are not taken seriously, and if we start thinking, it's not too bad after all, temple is going on, I'm also going on, life is not too bad. If this thought comes in, that means our business is with Krishna and our shelter is in the material world. This thought will come through very strongly. Actually, Prabhupada has written all these things in the books, but sometimes it's not taken very seriously, or for convenience sake we have forgotten that. It's there in the books, there's no question about that. Because the proof is, Tribhurari, Swami Tribhurari, I don't know whether you know him, he was the best book distributor in ISKCON. For all the time when Prabhupada was there, Tribhurari, he has taken sannyasam and he has left ISKCON, he's not with ISKCON anymore. He wrote his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and in that Bhagavad Gita he says very, very clearly that this, because he many, many years, he has done that service to Srila Prabhupada, and he mentions there that in many cases, he mentions that the purification of a person, he starts from karma. Purification of a person starts from karma. So, there he says there that it is his own words, I'll put it through. This is the na karmana, this verse what we are discussing now. Na karmana anarambhyam nashkarmyam purushosnudi. Na ca sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchadi. He says here, beginning with this verse, Krishna elaborates over the next six verses on the necessity of purification through action. Unless one's heart is pure, one should engage in karma yoga. For knowledge will not arise from artificial renunciation in an impure heart. These are the subtle principles of karma yoga. That unless one's heart is pure, which nobody can claim our heart is pure, one should engage in karma yoga, for knowledge will not arise, the realization won't come, from artificial renunciation in an impure heart. Action in accordance with scriptural injunctions brings about purification of the heart. This is especially so when scripturally enjoined action is performed without attachment to enjoying the result for oneself. Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, these things he mentioned in his own, he wrote this commentary on Bhagavad Gita afterwards. But what I'm saying is that this is now totally rejected throughout ISKCON. It's not happening. In all the temples, if you go back and look at everywhere, you will see young men queuing up to get a job in the temple. And they have become and polluted the whole place, and the leaders also are happy with that, the situation. And this is not spiritual life. If you don't accept what Krishna is saying, what's the point in running a business like this? So the question is this, that Krishna is for shelter, not for business. Krishna is for shelter. Material nature, material world is meant for our vyavaharam. That is, it's a temporary thing. You have to do business with material world. But with Krishna, you can't do business with Krishna. You have to follow what Krishna says. That's the absolute thing. So anyway, if you start doing business with Krishna, that business will become permanent. Because it is a nityavastu. Krishna is permanent. So if we do business with Krishna, it will also become permanent, because Krishna is permanent, that's the problem. So, anitya vastu, what is that? Anitya means temporary thing. Mind, material body, intelligence, false ego, these are all temporary things. Leave that to the world. All these things, we have to leave it to the world. So, but the consciousness, I am spirit, soul, that belongs to Krishna. That consciousness belongs to Krishna. So, Janaki Devi, she understood the point, what Maharshi was telling her. Janaki Devi understood that grihasthashram, let it go in its own way. That's vyavaharam, that you have to carry on. Krishna consciousness or self-realization is another issue, that is permanent thing. There you can't make any concessions. That has to continue in the normal way. So, she acted in that way. Later on, she had 10 children and she was a realized soul. Remember that? That 10 children she had, but she was a realized soul. She conducted the business in that way. And later on, many, many people took her shelter in spiritual life. And she led them through the, in their own spiritual activities. She was well known, a disciple at that time, for her knowledge. So, so give the material body to the world. Body belongs to the material world. By action, you cannot become spiritual. It's not possible. Simply by action alone, it's not possible to become spiritual. If we do something with the body, we will say that, we'll say how tapasvi. Tapasvi means one who is performing, executing very severe penances. we'll say like that. We'll say sometimes when they perform some yoga practices, something like Ashtanga Yogam or Hatha Yogam, something like that, when they show with the material body, we feel respect towards them, isn't it? But material body belongs to material nature. You can't do anything with that in the spiritual life. Material body cannot be of much help. It has come to us. We didn't ask for it. It has come to us. So all you can do is to handle that in such a way that it does not become a hindrance in your spiritual life. If it's become a hindrance, that's prarabdham. There's nothing we can do about that. Spiritual life is not with the material body. Spiritual life is not with the material body. You cannot create anything spiritual with the material body. That's not possible. So, because shariram or material body belongs to this world, and everything that is in this material body is come from the material nature. The five material elements has come from the material nature, including the mind. Mind will never become spiritual. And anything, any spiritual activity which you are thinking based on the mind will also fail one day. But that also cannot exist, because mind is temporary. Mind is nothing but chittavritti. We have seen what mind is, isn't it? So chittavritti or mental activities also cannot create any purity. Whereas our pure nature is spiritual, adhyatmam. The spiritual is our very nature itself. To hand over the material body, the mind, everything to Krishna, that means as long as whatever transactions we do in this world, when we have no desire to receive anything from that, if you have no desire to receive anything there, that will lead us into the purnatvam or complete perfection. And if we are peaceful about that, satisfied within ourselves, and then the mind and intelligence and body can continue with its transactions. As long as this desire is not there, I have to get something out of it. That means when you're free from desires inside, that's what Krishna is saying here in this verse. Nashkarma Siddhi means this. Then, as long as we haven't got a desire to get something out of it, and the mind and the body is always engaged in vyavaharam, then in that case, because if you engage body, mind and senses in this world, what is the advantage? It won't disturb you. That's all it is. Not to get anything out of it, but by engaging the mind, engaging the body, engaging the senses in this world in a regulated way, in a proper way, the advantage is it won't disturb you. At least it gets, and if it does not get engaged, it will give you trouble. It will cause trouble. So, mind, intelligence and body, let it work. Let it work in its own way, but not me. Not me. So, I belong to him. I belong to Krishna. That's my nature, isn't it? By spiritual nature, I belong to Krishna. And so many great personalities have acted in this way, in this world. All the Mahatmas, if you look into their life, they have acted in this way. While they lived in this world, they used their body, mind, intelligence, everything in a way that that will not disturb their spiritual realizations on spiritual understanding of life. So they were free from the disease of karmam. Karmam is yajanam. Yajanam means, later on Krishna will say this, Krishna expands a lot of things in Karma Yogam chapter for our own understanding, that not to misunderstand about karmam. Karmam is something we have to get rid of at some point, and that's only possible through Karma Yogam. That's what Krishna is saying. So as I mentioned about that lady Janaki Devi, in her life, she, after this message, the good thing about these people were, they were very mature in their spiritual understanding. They have studied Shastram, they have thought about this enough, and they are going through their practical difficulties in executing spiritual life in this world. So naturally, their mind is completely absorbed in this, and all the time looking for a solution to the problems, and they know where to go and how to take instructions, because they were so sincere in their and they were mature in their spiritual outlook. When the message came through, she understood that this is how I have to continue in this life. Great grihasthas they were. They were not sannyasis. They were grihasthas. But that didn't stop them from becoming self-realized. It didn't come on their way. So, So in even though in spiritual in her life she had to go through all these things, it never affected inside. Inside was free from that. Handed over the material body, mind, false ego, everything to the world. But she herself stayed out of it. She has nothing to do with that. Inside, she has given up everything, in other words. All attachment inside to the material world, she has given up. This will happen to someone who is seriously contemplating on these things. Contemplation is the key behind it. One who does not contemplate, it won't happen. It's not something you can mechanically inject into somebody. Like an injection, it cannot be given like that. It comes through contemplation, that freeing oneself from the world, freeing oneself from the world outside. So, material body, mind, intelligence, it's all me. That she has given up, and naturally, naishkarma siddhi, what Krishna is talking about, has happened. A full grihastha with 10 children, if she can reach that state, why can't men, without any hindrances like that, unable to reach that state? This is the question. So, many people, they have given up externally, inside not. This is the problem. They have given up externally, and very sincerely they have given up on the external side. On the external side. And after 60, 70 years old, they are saying that we didn't get anywhere in spiritual life. You see? We didn't get anywhere. Why is that? Because externally they gave it up, internally they didn't give it up. This internal giving up is more important than the external giving up. Internal giving up is more difficult. Externally we can give it up. It only takes a few minutes to externally change ourselves. Isn't it? So, and they are saying that they couldn't achieve anything in spiritual life. After living 60, 70, they executed all the sadhana. They did everything as they were told. They followed the principles. But still, at the age of 60 or 70, they are saying, we didn't get very far. What did I do all this life? I practiced spiritual life, nothing has happened. Then they start looking somewhere. But why the problem? Problem is that internally, that shift hasn't happened yet. Very, very sincere people they were. If they were not sincere, you know what they will do? They'll say, I got it already. They'll walk around saying that, even though they haven't got it. They'll say that. So, where did this mistake happen? Because na karmana anarambham. Krishna says, na karmana anarambham nashkarmyam hridam asnute. If you look at that verse, that's all what that verse is indicating. The verse is very potent. It's saying to us, na karmana anarambham nashkarmyam purushasnute naja sanyasana deva siddhim samadigacchati. Do you understand what it's saying? Krishna verse is saying, just by not doing it, it is not going to become naishkarmyam. Na karmana anarambham. Just because you have not done it. In other words, externally by giving it up, you have not come to the state of naishkarma siddhi. That's the point. Na karmana anarambham naishkarmyam naishkarmyam purushasnute. A man will not become reach the state of naishkarma siddhi simply by giving up externally. That's what Krishna is pointing at. He says it will only happen when that internally that connection is broken with the world. In other words, when we stop doing business with Krishna and start taking shelter of Krishna and we do business with the material body and the material nature, then this will happen. That clear demarcation is necessary. That's what that verse is talking about. You see, in two lines, Krishna brought in a lot of things there. Isn't it? Na karmana anarambham naishkarmyam purushasnude. Krishna is saying, by not doing karmam, you have not broken the connection. By not doing the karmam alone, you have not broken the connection. But inside that, when the connection is broken, with this understanding that I don't want to do business with this world, with this, with myself, by taking shelter of the world. Because that's what we're coming to, isn't it? Why do we do business with the world? Because we are taking shelter of the world. Isn't it? We are feeling that some shelter in the properties or assets or the relatives or friends or society or the assets or bank balance or in our material strength, physical strength and things like that. We feel some shelter there. That's why we are taking the shelter of that. With Krishna, we are not feeling that shelter. We are not sure whether Krishna will support us or not. So we do business with Krishna. This is the problem. So Krishna is saying, na karmana anarambham, naishkarmyam purushasnute, na ja sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchari. Nor by even sanyasam, Krishna says, by this is not going to happen. So, the first part of that verse, na karmana anarambham, naishkarmyam purushasnute, this is what Krishna has spoken. Then, the next part, the second part, Krishna is saying, what did he say? He says, naja sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchari. Krishna is saying, just by taking sannyasam, one is not going to become a siddha. He's not going to become siddha. Then how will he become siddha? That is the next verse. These verses in the Karma Yogam chapter, that has to be contemplated and reflected as much as possible, because that gives you the clarity in the what is right and what's wrong. When you don't know what's right and what's wrong, what will we do? We'll do what we like, isn't it? What suits us, in other words. So, that is where the danger is. So, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, please, Nahi kaschil kshanam api jadotishtatyakarma kral karya dehya vashak karma sarva prakriti jergunai. Once again, nahi kaschil kshanam api jadotishtatyakarma kral karya dehya vashak karma sarva prakriti jergunai. Translation: all men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. This is a very famous verse to show to us how dependent we are, how controlled we are. Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi. Even for a kshanam, Krishna says, jadu tishtati akarma kral. And kairi dehi avashak karma sarva prakriti jergune. It's a very famous verse. Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi jadu tishtati akarma kral. Karyadi avashak karma sarva prakritir gunai. And we think we are the doers, isn't it? Biggest doers we are. We did this, we did that. So many things. So, Krishna is saying here, when we give up karma, when Krishna says to Arjuna about this karma yogam, when Krishna told Arjuna, don't give up karma, isn't it? Don't give up karma. That time Arjuna is saying, I'm not giving up karma, but I want to give up the war. That is Arjuna's question. Okay, I don't want to give up karma. I'll do karma, but I want to give up this war. Why should I do this karma? This is an interesting question, isn't it? It's an interesting question. He says he wants to have a choice there. Arjuna wants a choice. Krishna says you have no choice in these things. Very open about it. And he is explaining that why you have no choice. And these are very subtle side of the karma principle, karma yoga. And if you understand that, then there is no problems afterwards. When you don't understand, then we will try to do things which are not sanctioned by Krishna. Why should I fight the war? Arjuna's question. I'll do some deity worship, Arjuna is saying. Because then we all think like that, isn't it? If I go to the temple and do deity worship, I'm perfectly situated. You are all karmis going out working outside, useless all. I am perfectly situated doing deity worship in the temple. Everybody is respecting me, they're handing over me the check. So this is what the mentality coming from that. Krishna says it doesn't work. Na karmana anarambham, naishkarma purushasnude. Because it's also karmam, that is his question. Nahi kaschil kshanamabhi jadu dushtatya karma karl. Kairehi avashak karma sarva prakriti ergune. So let's look at that. So Krishna is saying here, not even for a second you can escape from karma. Not even for a second you can escape from karma. Because karma is constantly happening all the time. That word kshanam is very important. Kshanam means not even a second. Not only that, Krishna says, who should do what karma sarva prakritir gunaihi? That's already controlled by prakriti, material nature. Everyone, according to their nature in the material world, Prakriti's nature, already we are formed in a particular way. So, at this point in time, Arjuna does not have Sattvagunam directly. He doesn't have the Sattvagunam. If you tell him, that do deity worship, which is a Sattvagunam, stage in the Sattvagunam, isn't it? Deity worship means in the Sattvagunam. Provided that deity worship is happening in Sattvagunam. This is a two different things. One who is doing deity worship doesn't mean he is in Sattvagunam. One who is doing deity worship in Sattvagunam is the perfect one. So, this is sometimes you can see this. People who are doing deity worship in Sattvagunam, people who are doing deity worship in Tamogunam. Both you can see very clearly. One who is flicking the camera in front of the deity is doing in Tamogunam. It's not in Sattvagunam. Do you understand? These are fundamental and very subtle principles of Karma Yoga. That Sattvagunam manifests in a person how? Deep absorption in Krishna. That is the Sattvagunam's nature. All other things are Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That is coming. Oh, this is another job. I have to finish it up today. And that's what it is. The attitude will come. So, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that, Arjuna, I will arrange deity worship for you. You can do deity worship from now on. And make him the head pujari there. Make Arjuna as the head pujari. He'll do it. Arjuna will do the job. But what will happen is, while he's showing his ghee lamp, he will say, I shouldn't have left the Duryodhana like that. This will be coming out from inside. The thoughts will come in that way. Who was I? Arjuna was a very proud person. You will see that when in the Bhagavadam, if you read Arjuna's consciousness, if you think about Arjuna, Arjuna is a Kshatriya. You can't blame him for that. That is his very nature. His pride and that strength in him. So, Viryam Trambaka Doshanam, he told Krishna this once, that ego inside Arjuna was such, Kshatriya's ego. He says to Krishna, to that Brahmana who came to save the 10 children, isn't it? 10 children were taken away. When the Brahmana came, Arjuna says, what is the use? Krishna and Balaram could not do anything. You going to do anything? He says, I'm not Krishna, I'm not Balaram. He says, Arjuna is saying this to the Brahmana. And he says, Viryam Trambaka Doshanam, I have placed Lord Shiva. Do you know who I am? That's Arjuna. And this Arjuna is doing deity worship. So Krishna is saying there to Arjuna, I should have shown that to them, isn't it? Arjuna is thinking like this while doing the deity worship. He's saying this, that I should have shown this. Due to some weakness and a particular moment in life, I have given up everything and came here. But if they really know who I am, this is all going through his mind when he's doing this deity worship. They are all thinking of me like a pujari. But actually, am I a pujari? Arjuna will get, these thoughts will definitely come inside. So, can any one of them fight like me? This is what Arjuna will be thinking about himself. So, Om Namo Narayanaya. This is what Arjuna will say. So, that is not Arjuna's fault. That's what Krishna is saying. It's not Arjuna's fault. Arjuna's makeup is like that. And that is his structure. Arjuna is created like that. This is a very important point. We should not break this law. If you break this law, what will happen is your life will be wasted. You won't reach that proper growth in spiritual life. Once there was a sannyasi who was giving instructions to everybody about tattva, various things, and particularly about ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence. He was speaking about that. He was giving a lecture. So there was one cat which was sitting underneath the bed of this sannyasi. So this cat was listening to this lecture all the time. So afterwards, the lecture was over, the cat came and paid its obeisances to the sannyasi and told the sannyasi, ahimsa paramo dharmam. The highest dharma is ahimsa, non-violence. I like that, cat says to the sannyasi. I like that very much, he says. You should not kill anybody. You shouldn't kill anybody. That means from tomorrow onwards I'm a vegetarian. The cat is saying, I'm a vegetarian from tomorrow onwards. After two days, he comes back and says to, cat comes back and says to the sannyasi, when I see the mouse, I can't keep quiet. He says, I'm finding it very difficult to control myself. Can you give us any mantra whereby I can check myself, from attacking that mouse, because inside I'm getting such a strong urge to get him, to get the mouse and eat him. You see? So the sannyasi gave a mantra to this cat, Namushya Bhakshyami, that I will not eat the mouse. I will not eat the mice. Namushya Bhakshyami gave this mantra. He said, sannyasi told, keep on chanting this mantra, then you won't get that urge anymore to eat the mice. The sannyasi gave this instruction to the cat. So the cat sat there and started chanting this mantra. Namushya Bhakshyami, Namushya Bhakshyami, kept on chanting that mantra. One day, while chanting this mantra, sannyasi suddenly heard inside from the mouth of the mouse from the cat. So the sannyasi asked, "What's that noise coming from?" He says, "When I was chanting, something went through front of me. Something went through in front of me. Without my knowledge, I took it and put it in my mouth." The cat is saying this to the sannyasi. "I was chanting the mantra, but while I was sitting, something passed through in my friend. Immediately I caught it and put it in my mouth," he says. Sannyasi says to him, "Good thing, I have to blame myself for teaching you about ahimsa. It's my fault," he says. "So I also have, if you accept this ahimsa or the non-violence principle, I will be in serious trouble. The house will be full of mice. And Krishna has created this cat in such a way that mice is its food. He has to get it from nowhere. He has to get it. So, because if you see in the Bhagavadam, this is very clearly explained. One living entity is food for another living entity. Ahastani sahastranam abadani chadushpadam phalguni mahadam tatra jivo jivasya jivanam. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavadam. Ahastani sahastranam, one who doesn't have hands, it's meant for those who got the hands, food. These are the laws in this world. Krishna's creation is like that. What can you do? The cat is meant to have mice as its food. You can't stop that. You can't make cat a vegetarian saying that, oh, he's such a mood of goodness, he's always not eating. But it is wrong to change that, like that. So, astani sahastranam, avadani chadushpadam, four-legged animals are for the those who haven't got four legs. Phalguni mahadam tatra jivo jivasya jivanam, one living entity is food for another. That is the very way, nature, the way material world has been created. That one living entity is food for another. And if you say, I won't eat that, what can you do? So, Arjuna's structure, the cat's nature is like that, to eat the mice, isn't it? It always eats the mice. And in houses, they keep the cat, not here, there's no cat, there's no mice, there's no mice so much. But in India, people keep the cats at home, just to make sure that the rat population or the mice don't increase too much. If all the cats become vegetarians, immediately there will be a lot of mice. So, Arjuna structure in the same way, that is by nature, he has to fight the war. He has to fight the war. Took birth in the Kshatriya race, Kshatriya family. Without anyone telling him, he has come with this vasana inside, isn't it, to fight the war. And according to his vasana, and that faculty was inside Arjuna from the very beginning to fight the war. And Dronacharya, what happened once was, Dronacharya was teaching this astravidya or this knowledge of the archery. He was teaching to all the students. There's one thing which he never taught to anybody. One particular technique, he never taught this to anybody. Dronacharya never taught this to anybody. Because, what was that? Without seeing the object in darkness, how to shoot the arrow and hit the target. There's a technique behind it. And how to do that, Dronacharya never taught. That means in darkness, how to shoot and hit the object. He never taught this to anybody. So, and Dronacharya, he had one cook. Dronacharya had a cook. This is stories there in the Mahabharata. And this cook's job was to prepare food for all the students. Dronacharya's students used to be fed by this cook. So Dronacharya told this cook very seriously, gave instructions to him. under no circumstances, while Arjuna is eating food, the lamp should not be allowed to go off. That means there should be always light under any circumstances while Arjuna is eating food. So, whenever Arjuna is awake, the lamp light should be there. So, by chance, what happened was, one day, while Arjuna was eating, the light went off. The light went off. Dronacharya heard at that time in the darkness a sound. Dronacharya heard a sound. So we went out to see what's happening, where the sound is coming from. So what did he see? Arjuna was standing underneath the tree in darkness and tied his eyes with a cloth, and he's shooting with the arrow something in the darkness. He's shooting an arrow with something. With some object he was shooting. Drona asked Arjuna, who taught you this technique of shooting something in the darkness? Arjuna says here, nobody taught me, he says. Arjuna is saying this. But I knew that there is a possibility of doing this. Arjuna has found this out himself without anybody teaching him. Because when I was eating, when the light went off, I continued to eat and I saw that the food was going in the right place without any effort. So from there he understood that even in darkness you can do things. What you want to do, you can reach the target as you eat. He says everything what was on the plate I was able to. That means what Arjuna was saying was, it's not that simply by eye alone you see. Keeping the eye out, using the mind, you can do things. Even that subtle techniques Arjuna has mastered himself. You see, that's how clever he was. And where is this coming from? This is coming from that Kshatriya nature in him. Because completely focused on how to get the better in the war, and this was in Arjuna's head going through. So, when it was going like that, Arjuna says, I started thinking myself that by practice it is possible to do that in a natural way. Even if there is my drishti, my vision is not proper, it is possible to shoot the arrow, and I am trying that, he said. So, to such an extent, his janma vasana means the vasana that has come by birth, was in him. In him. So, if you hand over, what will happen to that Arjuna? If you tell Arjuna, all this is good, not good, take sannyasam. And told Arjuna to take sannyas. What happened to Arjuna when he took sannyas? You know the story, isn't it? What did happen with Arjuna when he took sannyas? First thing what he said, that he says, this is how he married Subhadra, isn't it? Arjuna married Subhadra in this way. So, a Kshatriya, nature is like that. If you hand over sannyasa to him, what will happen? It will happen like this. This is a lesson to us. That our janma vasana and karma vasana is very strong in us. It's not, you can't ignore that very easily. So, so Arjuna took sannyasi's dress and came to Krishna. So when he got there, he's asking Krishna. Arjuna is asking Krishna, who is this girl? He's saying to Arjuna. Sannyasi is inquiring from Krishna. Krishna is saying to him that because everything I'll arrange it for you, don't worry about that. Krishna is saying to him, because there is no vasana for sannyasam inside, you are artificially pushing this into him. How will it work? So this is the clear proof. This is the clear proof that vasanas are strong. Vasanas are very powerful. You can't ignore all that thing. That question is, the question is not whether the vasana is good or bad. That is not the question. That's not the question. Vasana is good or bad. If there is a vasana inside us, whether it is good or bad, it's the people who outside, they will say, oh, that's a good thing what he has done, it's a bad thing. But the fact we have to recognize is that the vasana is inside, in a person. How to get out of that? That is what you have to worry about. How to get out of the vasana from inside. Whether it is good or bad, what does it matter? Somebody will say one thing, somebody else will say something else. Like when Arjuna took Subhadra, Balram got very upset. Krishna didn't get upset about it. Isn't it? You can see in the Bhagavatam. So, the question is, whether the vasana is good or bad is not the question. The question is to recognize that I have this vasana inside. How will I get out of this? get rid of this vasana from inside, because vasana is the problem that is causing all our activities to happen. So suppose you say that headache is not a good thing, and we say that good people don't get headache. If you create a law like that, what will happen is everyone will act as though they have no headache, isn't it? Similarly, and when you get headache, what will they do? In the same situation, what can they do? So similarly, those who have got problem with their character, if you say that only they get the stomachache or something like that, whoever has got stomachache, they won't say anything about it, even if they have stomachache. This is what we are doing now. We are artificially accepting something what we are not, and then we are covering up our own weaknesses within inside, because we think that the society has to, we are trying to please the society, but inside vasana has not gone. Inside vasana is still there. What good is that? That's what Krishna is asking. Nahi kaschil kshanamavi jadu tishtadi akarmakaral karyadehi avashakarma sarvai prakritijayar gunai. That sarvai prakritijayar gunai is the most key word there. Everything is happening by prakritijayar gunai, means the vasana. Prakriti is in the form of vasana inside. Sarvai prakritijayar gunai. So, therefore, when Arjuna is saying to Krishna that fighting the war is not a good thing, what is the use? Because yuddha vasana is there in Arjuna. You can't take it away from him. That is very strongly present inside. Whatever vasana we have inside, if we want to get rid of that vasana from inside, or not allow that vasana to develop inside, we have to do the karmam according to that vasana, but do it as karma yogam, in nishkama state. And that I am not doing this karmam, and I don't want any results from this karmam. In that way, if you do that, that vasana will go. And that is the secret of karma yogam. Whole karma yogam secret is like this. Whatever vasanas we have inside, if we take it that we want to get rid of that vasana, the way to get rid of that vasana, Krishna is saying here, is that according to that vasana, execute that karma. But while doing that karma, do it without any desire for results and with the understanding that I am not the doer. If you do it like that, then that vasana will go away. That's the only way it can go. Otherwise, this is the secret of the karma yoga. So that's what Krishna is saying there. That means you are accepting that words, what Krishna has spoken. That mahikaschil kshanamapi jatu tishtadi akarmakral karyadehi avashakarma sarva prakritijayar gunai. That everyone is helpless in this world, Krishna is saying. Karyadehi avashakarma. In the choice of karma, everyone is avashan. Avasha means he is helpless here. Sarva prakritijayar gunai. Everything is controlled by the prakriti, material nature, and the gunas, three modes of nature, and the vasanas inside. They are conducting our activities. So, why we should discuss these things? Because we shouldn't think any time I am doing a. Often I've seen with the devotees, isn't it? They feel, oh, I'm not in the temple. Oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong outside. Where this false understanding has come, I don't know. That Bhagavad Gita is not saying this. Whatever you are doing, do carry on doing it. Let the vasana go. But important thing is, whatever action you are doing, do we have this consciousness how Krishna is telling us to execute that karma? That is more important. So if it is like that, imagine that somebody is saying that because they are in the temple that they are perfectly situated. And that too, when it is not a karma yoga, how entangling it is, isn't it? How much it is going to... It's not any shelter at all. In that way, there is no need to be fearful about living outside or doing one's carry on one's life, because Shastram is not saying that anywhere. Nahi kaschil kshanamapi. All these verses are talking to us directly. Jadu tishtadi akarmakral and karyadehi avashakarma sarva prakritijayar gunai. Prakriti will work its own way, and if we try to change, like Arjuna's case what we discussed, what will happen? We are not getting fixed up in spiritual life either. Just because we got a job in the temple doesn't mean that you have escaped from your vasana. Vasanas have not left you. And karyadehi avashakarma sarva prakritir gunai. Prakriti is control, not us. We are not in control. Prakriti is in control of the situation. So this is important. So on the other hand, if normally in this world, whatever karma we are doing, it never finishes, isn't it? Because why? It's not done as karma yoga. It's completely done as full of desire for results and full of I am the doer, and we don't want to give up the results either. With all these things behind, you have to think about karma yoga. When how we act in this world, so how much karma yogi we are, you can see from that, isn't it? How much karma yogi we are. If we keep on, nothing will go away. Not only that, when with the desire we execute karmam, and we have to extend that. After keeping all these things, we are doing karmam in this world. If we do karmam without sangam, without attachment in this world, it will go away. It will go away. Example, in the school and the college, we have studied a lot of things, isn't it? In the schools and colleges, we have studied a lot of things. Those who have gone to universities and spent years there, they'll know how much you have gone through the books. But if you ask them now, they won't remember anything what you have studied at that time. The amount of books you've gone through, but if you ask them what have you studied, he says, we don't remember anything now. Why is it like that? Why we don't remember anything now? Because at the time when you were studying and reading those books, the goal was very clear. I had to write the exam, get through. That's all. Had no, never thought that it is going to stay with me the whole lifetime. That was never in the mind. Because you had no vasana in that. There was no vasana in that. Exactly like a duty, you have done that. I had to do it because I had to study these books. Why? I had to pass the exam. Just like a duty, you have done that. As soon as the duty was over, it disappeared. That's why all that what you have studied in the uni is not with you anymore. It's not with you anymore. Another example, if you look at that in this way, those who are close to retirement or approach retirement, you can see, think about this, that right now already you start feeling you're not fitting very well in the office because so many things have changed and you are not able to change along with that. But after retirement, say 4 or 5 years after retirement, you go back to the same office where you have worked, you won't be able to relate with the office even. To so much the changes happened in the office. Why is like that? In the same company where he has worked a whole lifetime, you take him there and tell him to start doing the work, he'll find it very difficult to do the work there. Because this phenomenon is there in everyone. What is the reason behind it? The reason is this. He did not do that work because of vasana. He was only doing that work expecting the results of some money or income and also as a duty. It was not due to vasana that he did that work. Rarely you will find somebody who has vasana for that work, what he is doing. Very rarely. Majority of the people are forced to do the work for want of money. Or would you say that while you will get... Rarely you find people who get great thrill in something what they have done in the computers or in designing or engineering or in medicine, in all these professions. Rarely you will see someone getting very excited about it, about his success in there. Because he may have some vasana in that direction. But majority of the people, they just do the work and check the salary receipt at the end if it's everything is okay and leave the office quietly. That majority of the people, that's what they do. You see, they're not too bothered. Whether the company goes to hell or not, doesn't matter as long as I get my money. That's what they think. The company goes bust, he says, oh, what can we do? Company has gone bust. I have to look for somewhere else. Why? There's no attachment there. He's not working because of vasana, isn't it? He's only working there because he wants that money to live in this world and also as a duty. Because he has the responsibility of family life and personal maintenance, he's doing it. That's all. Nothing more than that. What it is indicating is this, that Karya means avasya karma. Krishna is saying here that every karma which is related to the material body, whatever we do in that way, that means I have to do it in that way, you do it, without any vasanas attached to it, that will all leave you at some point. It will leave you. Like all the work what you have done in the office, when you retire, in 2 years' time, you can take it, everything has left you. It's not with you anymore. It never stays as a vasana inside. You notice that? That suppose you have worked 40 years in the, say, computer industry or engineering industry, and you retire, after 5 years' time, you look at yourself and see, you won't feel any desire to go back to do anything there. Why? That it has not created any vasana inside. That's the good thing about that. So, if it doesn't create any vasana inside, why did you do that? You did that only for the benefit of some material benefits. You executed that as a duty and did that and left it. That has not created any vasanas inside. So, they will leave you. They won't cause any problems. But, if you have executed any karma with a desire and ambition inside, with a desire and ambition inside, and craving, desire with craving, whatever you do, it will stick to you. Anything in this world, if you do, it will stick to you. And it will never leave you. It will never leave you. There are certain situations like that. Somebody has intense desire inside to become something in life, or developed some desire for achieving something in this world. And if you keep on working in that direction, even if these things may leave you, that won't leave you. That will stick to you. That desire will become a killer. It will start eating inside that person. Okay, inside there. So that's why Krishna is saying here, that is the law. Karyade avashya karma sarva prakrutir gunai. Therefore Krishna is saying, in this world, if everybody is in sattugunam, they will act in a particular way. What is that sattugunam's nature? Sattugunam's nature is like this: puja, deity worship, chanting the holy name, or singing kirtanam. These are the things which will come from sattugunam. Puja, japam, prakriti, puja, dhyanam, meditations, deity worship, chanting the holy name, kirtanam. All these things are sattugunam. And not only that, by nature, they will do something good for others. That is their nature. They will be thinking about other living entities because they have some realization that I am not come here to this world to take from this world, rather to give it to this world. That feeling will be there inside a person like that. That is sattva activity. Sattva activity. That's their nature. If you force them to do rajasic activities, it will not be possible. Suppose somebody who is in the mood of goodness, you take him to the battlefield and leave there as a soldier. What will happen? You have to look that side also, isn't it? Arjuna asked this question, that I will become a sattvic person. But see, if you take a sattvic person and take him to a battlefield and leave him a soldier there, like a soldier there, what will happen? Can you make him to fight? So, he will not be able to fight. So, rajasa prakriti, or one who has got rajasic nature, you can't expect him to do sattvic activities. As much as a person in sattvic nature, he cannot do rajasic activities also. So what is important is what is a person's nature. That's what one has to find out. One has to find out. So that if you engage a person in sattvic nature, rajasic nature, in a sattvic activity, these activities are sattvic. Which one? Deity worship, chanting the holy name, kirtanam, these are all sattvic activities. These are all sattvic activities. If you bring a rajasic person into a sattvic activity, what will he do? He will make that sattvic activity rajasic. That's what will happen. That also you can see in this world today. I don't know if you thought about all these things, because these are important things. If you have someone who has got rajasic nature, and if you are engaging him in sattvic activity, he will make that sattvic activity a rajasic thing. A rajasic thing. Best example is this, that if you look at this way, if you give a sannyasi, and say a person who has a strong desire to build a 5-star hotel and you make him a sannyasi, what will he do? He will build an ashram which will be like a 5-star hotel. That's what he will do. Because his vasana is like that, you can't do anything about it. That is what you are seeing today in the modern world. So many people with so many rajasic vasanas inside, they've taken the sannyasa dress and unable to resist themselves, it's coming out in different forms. Just recently when I was in Vrindavan, there was an advertisement. Ashram with the modern facilities. Ashram with all the modern facilities. It says there, it's an ashram, but with all the modern facilities. So why call it ashram then? If it's a modern facility, it's a 5-star hotel. I have got advertisements still, I can show it if you want to look at it. And it says, I got everything there. All colored television channels, air conditioning. Ashram, I believe. It's called ashram. Ashram with all the modern facilities. So it's the whole thing is a joke, isn't it? And people are buying their properties. And NRIs are the target, isn't it? NRIs, separate construction, another block is built for the NRIs so they can come and invest in that. And kind of things they have shown on, it's an ashram they call it, a huge billboard. And on that it says jacuzzi, sauna, and all kinds, for jogging, internal circuit inside for jogging. Do you have to go to Vrindavan to do all these things? This is society. This is a society what we have got. Don't take society for granted for anything. Society will never tell you the right thing. Society will do so many things on its own. If you follow the society, you'll go to hell. That's what will happen. And this is the, in Vrindavan, is expanding business this is. Getting all the NRIs to buy all, the, and people are going and buy, I got a flat in Vrindavan, I'm covered now for the life. I go there, give up my body, go back to spiritual world. This is the plan. It doesn't work like that, does it? So, it says here that you cannot jump out of it. Vasana is there inside a person. So, in some other form, if you do things like this, if your vasanas are not good, whatever you do, what will happen is, in some other form, it will come out from inside. Because vasanas are not left you. I told you yesterday, if it was vritti, you can control. If it is samskaram, you can control. But if it has become vasana, you can't do anything. Vasana has to fructify. It has to manifest in some form or the other. So then what is the solution? Solution is we have to do what Krishna tells us to do. That's the only solution in this. There's no other way. Because otherwise why Karma Yoga was spoken so clearly to Arjuna? That this is why it is said here that we have to accept our guna katana. That means the how modes of nature are within us and how these vasanas are, that we have to you can only give up this vasanas, and that means the modes of nature. Vasanas is nothing but the modes of nature only. The modes of nature and vasanas are connected, isn't it? What is vasana means? Vasana means to act in a particular way. And how did the vasanas come? Through modes of nature. Association with modes of nature has caused the vasana inside. While executing karmam, depending on the modes of nature in which you have executed karmam, a particular vasana has developed inside. So that guna ghatana, that combination of that modes of nature inside will only go if it is executed in the way Krishna has told us to do. Krishna has told us to do. So Krishna is saying here that by the mercy of a spiritual master, by the mercy of a spiritual master, the spiritual master's duty is to engage that disciple according to that vasana, according to the vasana in a person, and train him to do that karmam without any expectation of results. Then it will change. This is the duty of the spiritual master, to see the vasana in a person and to engage that person in such a way that he will do it without expectation of any results. In that case, it will purify him. It will purify that person. So this brings a lot of questions, isn't it? Naturally, it brings questions in all areas. It brings questions. So Krishna is saying here, by doing like that, little by little, that vasana will eventually leave him. And just like the example is that alchemy, you know, this alchemy, that means that you can turn iron, lead, everything into gold. There is this process of alchemy. Prabhupada also mentions that, that using mercury. And there's a way of converting these things into, it's a chemistry thing. Many siddhas, they knew this technique. This is a siddhi actually. So, how to turn everything into gold. Similarly, all these things, that is just to speak about the same way, this jiva, conditioned soul inside, he will become like gold and it can turn its nature by releasing all the vasanas from inside. When all the modes of nature leaves us, he is independent. He is completely independent. And therefore, sarva prakritir gunai. According to the prakriti's nature, he will start working in that direction. In the olden days, this is why we go back now what Krishna is talking about, that in the olden days, according to the varnam, one conducted his life. According to the varnam, one conducted his life. Why? Because varnam, people are criticizing for varnam, isn't it? So much criticism in India. They are trying to kill it somehow or the other. This varnam and ashram business. Ashram they have already killed in a false way by doing all these things what's going on. But varnam also, they have gone against that because varna ghatana or the varnam, varnashrama dharmam, that varnam was based on this principle that you are getting a birth in a certain situation based on the vasanas only. And if you allow that vasana to go through that, there's so many advantages. If you look into the varnashrama dharmam and the modern world, you know, in the modern society, there is too much competition, isn't it? We have competing each other all the time. Everyone feels that every job is, which is the paying, the most paying job, he wants to get that. Everybody wants it like that. Whereas the varnashrama system, that was not allowed. It didn't happen because we didn't give importance to it. And therefore, everyone was limited to his own work in this world. But now that everything is messed up, everybody has to decide what they should do in this life. This has become the problem now. We have to decide what we have to do in this world. Whether he has sattvic nature, rajasic nature or tamasic nature. So this thing is dependent on the nature in a person, isn't it? According to that, your work also. You can see this difference even among the jnanis. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasam. They also will be there in them. Then some people who have achieved knowledge, realize the truth, that they will be busy in puja, in deity worship, in different kinds of anushtanam. Anushtanam means all the different sadhanas, what we do, or tapasya, austerities and things like that. They are jnanis. And there are others like King Janaka. He was also a jnani, but he was not doing all these kind of things. He was busy in the administration of the country and in the administration of the people. So, they will stay as a king whole life and their jnanis, realized souls. So you can see the vasanas are different in different people. So there are people who have engaged in tamasa karma also. In the Mahabharata, you know that story, don't you? That Dharma Vyada story, remember? He was doing a tamasic activity, but he was a realized soul. So what does that mean? It means that because Varnashrama Dharma was followed at that time, and people did not think each other as one is superior to the other. Never thought, this is all modern things to think. And then we started bashing Brahmanas. Poor Brahmanas were beaten up for this, saying that you have exploited all of us whole lifetime. And this way the propagation started, created rift within the Varnashrama system. And they were told that now that you cannot stay like a Brahmana, like we are all Brahmanas now, so you all go. We take care of that. And what have we happened now? What have we done with that? So this is the way it has happened all time in the history. So, but if you look into jnanis, you will see those who are in the rajasic nature, they continued, realization was there, but still they continued their activities in that way. Those who are in the tamasic nature, they continued their activities also in that way. But self-realization was not affected by that. Dharma Vyada was self-realized soul. But he was a butcher. He was selling meat. It didn't stop him from becoming self-realized. Why? body, mind, intelligence belongs to material nature. He has decided that inside. He knew very clearly. He handed over that to nature, whatever the body is doing. I am spirit soul, fixed in the consciousness. So it cannot affect him. He carried out this job as is. It didn't stop him from becoming self-realized. In other words, even in that tamasic activity with the body, he became realized soul. And Krishna is glorifying him in the Bhagavatam. So what do you think about that? We all have this misunderstanding that only if I get my second initiation, Brahmin initiation, only then I have some hope in this world, isn't it? We can forget that. Bhagavatam is not saying that. Bhagavad Gita is not saying that. It all dependent on inside, what changes have happened, not the external things. So here, he says here that he never said that. Dharmavyada never said that he got the realization that I'll stay as a sannyasi. He never said like that. In Bombay, I mentioned about this before, about Nisargadatta Maharaj. You remember? I mentioned, talked about him. You can Google and see about him, what he says. Nisargadatta Maharaj, his occupation was making BDs. In one small gully in a big city in Bombay, in one small gully, in a small dilapidated building, he sat there and did this BD, making these BDs. But when he had visitors, he was discussing with them the Marathi commentary on Yaneshwari. Yaneshwari is a famous commentary in Marathi on Bhagavad Gita. Very famous commentary. That commentary was so well realized by him, and he could continuously lecture while making BDs from Bhagavad Gita. That how realized he was. And later on, many, many great personalities came to see him, seeing that realization in him. Although physical engagement was BD making. It didn't disturb him at all. Nisargadatta Maharaj. And he has written some one or two books published by some Americans about that, because they were his disciples later, and that book was sold out straight away. I don't know whether it's available now or not, but this was in the early 40s, and like that time this happened, Nisargadatta Maharaj. You'll see his some of his, if you Google, you will see about him and the books, what he spoke about. So what I'm saying is that whatever karmam he has performed did not come on the way in his self-realization. In spite of what happened, whatever karmam he has to accept, that was his karmam. He continued because it came through parambara. His parents did that, their parents did that. It was just the parambara he followed. That was the livelihood for the body, maintaining the body, something has to be done. That's all he gave importance to it. But inside, self-realization, goal, knowledge of the self, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Jnaneshwari commentary, he mastered it so well that he used to talk about Jnaneshwari lecture every day. And whole morning people will come for satsangam to hear Jnaneshwari from him. So many, many people came to see him because that was a karmam destined for him to do. He did that. Before he trying for his self-realization, he has started this is in his ignorant state. Before he became self-realized, he was doing this karma of making BDs. Parambara, he has done this karma he has done. Arjuna's intelligence is saying that I will not do this. But Vasana is saying, you have to fight. This is Arjuna's situation now. Arjuna is saying, because by Parambara, if you look, what is Arjuna's job? Fighting. Kshatriya, isn't it? Arjuna's father, Pandu. Sorry, Arjuna actually come from Indra, isn't it? So, Kunti Devi, they're all Kshatriyas, isn't it? So, that Parambara is taught him how to be a warrior. That is Arjuna's duty, isn't it? So, Vasana is saying he has to fight, but intelligence is telling him not to fight. We become a pujari. He's saying to Krishna, give me this job of a pujari or something like that, where I don't have to fight and kill others. But Vasana is saying, you have to fight. So Krishna did not look into Arjuna's intelligence. Krishna looked into Arjuna's Vasana. That's the most important thing here. See how they didn't give so much value for all the so-called intelligence. What is that person's Vasana? That is what Krishna looked at. And Krishna saw Arjuna's Vasana is to fight. So otherwise what will happen? It will be like teaching non-violence ahimsa to the cat. That's what will happen if you push Arjuna to do this. Kairihi avishakarmam sarva prakritir gunai. So everyone in this world is under the control of prakriti. When we say prakriti, it means this vasana. Kairihi avishakarma sarva prakritir gunai. Prakriti has 2-3 meanings. One meaning of prakriti is material nature. Another meaning of prakriti is your own nature. That's also prakriti. We say like that, isn't it? That's his prakriti. We say that's his nature. Can't do anything about it, isn't it? About people, different people, we say like that. That's his nature. That's his prakriti. So it's his prakriti. So, and we, according to our own nature, prakriti is controlling us all the time. And nobody can turn it upside down, his prakriti. It is not possible. You cannot turn upside down your prakriti. Because prakriti is not in our control. It is under the control of material nature, our prakriti. Our mind, body, everything is responding to that, according to the prakriti. Kairidehi avasha karma sarva prakriti jergunehi. In that case, what he is saying is that if you say that, I'll control all these things, it's not going to happen. Maybe by willpower, you may be able to hold it for some time through willpower. But there is a thing called mind inside. And that mind will start dreaming. Even if you try through your willpower, you try to control. There's a thing called mind inside, isn't it? The mind will start dreaming inside. And these dreams will start developing in the form of dreams. It will start coming out. These desires will come back. And this will become that desire. When the mind starts dreaming about it, it will become strengthened inside. And even if you have given up everything externally, inside it will become stronger and stronger. The more you give up externally, it will become stronger inside. This is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. Verse 6. Karmendriyani samyamya. Ya aste manasasmaran, indriyarthan vimodhatma, mithyachara samuchyate, karmendriyani samyamya, ya aste manasasmaran, indriyarthan vimodhatma, mithyachara samuchyate. Translation. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Straightforward, isn't it? One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, deludes himself and is called a pretender. Prabhupada writes there are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness but make a show of meditation, but actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers, but according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudhalma mithyajara samuchyade. See, the main thing in spiritual life is there should be no conflict inside. Whatever we have understood, little, doesn't matter. If it is followed honestly, without any conflict, it will bring some results at the end. But keeping one thing inside and pretending something else outside will not have any benefit to anybody. When Krishna, have you noticed here, Krishna says karmendriyam. In that verse, karmendriyam he says, isn't it? Karmendriyani samyamya. Why did he say like that? Because in karmendriyam, jnanendriyam is also included. In some senses, situations it's like that. Jnanendriyam is helping karmendriyam to do things. Isn't it? Through jnanendriyam is behind karmendriyam. So if karmendriyam, when Krishna mentions, jnanendriyam is also included. You know the differences, isn't it, between Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam? 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna did not say about Jnanendriyam, only Karmendriyam he mentioned. But actually that's also karmam, it's also engaged in karmam. Jnanendriyam is also doing the karmam. Therefore, even if the senses which are external, if you control them, the mind will continuously meditate on them. Say for example, this is, you can also see your own life. One's own life, one can see these things forcefully by keeping the senses under control. You are still not able to come out of something. The mind is dwelling on that all the time, isn't it? The mind does not allow you to free yourself from that. The best example is in the Srimad Bhagavatam Jadabharata story. Remember that Bharata, King Bharata. Bharata Maharaj went to the forest, isn't it? He gave up everything and went to the forest. Through his willpower, he executed yogam. Yoga Abhyasam, he executed yoga through his willpower. And controlled his senses. Controlled his senses very well. But the mind ran after the deer. See that? It is in the fifth canto, isn't it? The fifth canto, that story of Jadabharata. So on the one hand, he was controlling everything, performing. You wonder how this could happen, isn't it? That he was sitting there, gave up the whole kingdom, that means the whole planet he gave up. And he went to, realizing the importance of self-realization, he goes to Gandaki River, sits there, and engages in spiritual, knowing very well that the time has come to leave this world. He's preparing for the death, in other words, like Parikshit did. So he wanted to engage total commitment to spiritual activity and engage in meditation, dhyanam, puja, and chanting the Gayatri, all the things he was doing. In a very severe austerities he was performing there. Bhagavatam will tell you that. And at the same time, he was controlling his senses very willfully. He was doing that. But mind did not agree with that. Mind went after the deer. Mind went after the deer. So, because of that, had to come back again. Another birth. Isn't it? So, even if you give up externally, the vasana inside will beat you one day. You won't be able to overcome that. And that will become the cause of your next birth. So, unless the vasana chayam or vasanas are completely gone, you have to accept another body. That's the point. Karmendriyani samyamya, Krishna says here, isn't it? Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasa smaran. Manasa smaran. If you keep on thinking about something with the mind, Krishna says, vimudhalma, he is ignorant person. And why? Because the soul, its real identity is covered. Real identity is covered. Indriyartha, that's what Krishna is saying here, gave him a name, Indriyarthan Vimudhalma. Somebody, Krishna normally hasn't criticized a lot in the Bhagavad Gita, but this is one of the heavy criticism from Krishna about us, about people who are in doing these things. Then Indriyartha Vimudhalma. Krishna uses little heavy words here. Indriyartha force, that means externally showing something, but internally meditating on the sense gratification. Indriyarthan. Vimudhalma. Krishna says here, Vimudhalma. That means he's an ignorant person. Ajnani. Vimudhalma means Ajnani. Ajnani means ignorant person. And he says here that Indriyartha Vimudhalma Mithyacharasa Muchyade. Krishna gave them a name, Mithyachara. Mithyacharasa Uchyade. He says it's Mithyachara. Mithyachara means one who is duplicitous. One who is duplicitous. So, externally he will do something, but all his activities inside is that he's writing inside on the water. He's writing on the water. It will not stay. Because Mithya means useless, in other words. And he will do a lot of things in this world, but if you look at his accounts at the end, there will be nothing. Accounts, there will be nothing at the end. Body is doing various things, but what the body does is not taken into account in the spiritual life. What the body does is not taken into account in the spiritual life. Sometimes we fall into this. This is happening to people who cannot think very much. What they do, they think that, oh, I've done so much service all my life, service, 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 service. They've fallen into this trap. Because whole life they've been doing service with the body. All life they've done service with the body. But that is not even taken into account very much, what you have done with your body. That's not the important thing. But the vasana inside or your mood inside, that is more important. Perhaps, for example, I'll give you the best example is this only, the deity worship. Tomorrow, by chance, a company comes up with an option for pujaris are not required anymore. We can develop a equipment or a robot who will do the deity worship. Our temples will be the first to buy them and install them, because then you don't have any problem. They won't ask for more wages, they won't ask for any timesheet filling. You just have to program and you can stay asleep at home. The robot will do the deity worship at home. But will that be puja then? Will it become puja? And not only that, the robot will do the better job. It will chant the mantra properly. And also, right time, it will ring the bell. This all can be programmed with the robot, isn't it? But however nicely you do that, it will not have any benefit, isn't it? It will not be a puja then. It's that the robot has done another work. That's all it is, robot doing the work itself. So, whether the robot does the deity worship, or if the robot kills somebody, nothing will happen. You see, its result is the same. It doesn't know anything, isn't it? The robot doesn't know anything, what it is doing. It doesn't affect the robot. Robot will do what it has been told to do. Whether you program the robot to do deity worship, or you use the robot to kill someone, it doesn't matter. Robot will do it. Why? It is jadam, isn't it? It's dead matter. There's no bhavam inside. There's no bhavam inside. In other words, by deity worship, what we mean is not the physical activity that is involved, but if because that has no importance there, physically what you are doing there. If physically what you are doing is the puja, the machines can do the puja. The machines can do the puja. They'll do better than our pujaris. Without any, they don't have any, there's no resistance inside. They will be on time every day. You can program it and leave it like that. It will do the job for the rest of the life. But will that become puja? Is there bhavam there? There is no bhava there for the robot, isn't it? So in other words, what it means is behind that, there should be a thing called the heart. Heart should be there. Only then, Krishna is saying here, mithyacharam. Mithyacharam means one who is doing things in this world like a machine, holding the everything back, all the vasanas back, and simply doing with the body. Krishna is saying all that is mithya. All that is mithya. Mithyacharasa uchyate. So vasanas are there in a person, and he is controlling, keeping physically, forcefully, he is restricting the vasanas, forcefully he is restricting it, and he is trying to do things in this world, and falsely behaving in this world. In that way, Krishna says here, mithyacharasa uchyate, mithyacharasa uchyate. All his activities are mithya, Krishna is saying here. Because why? Behind that, there is no bhavam. There is no bhavam. There is something else working inside all the time. There's something else is going on inside. Once there is an example, there was a famous organization. It doesn't exist, I think, now. It was called Brahma Samajam. Some people may have heard about that.
The branches.
Brahma Samajam? Yeah.
Eastern as
okay. Okay, at one time they were very famous in the sense it was the time during the time of independence. This Brahma Samajam, what they used to do was that they had a famous meditation center they had at that time. It was also originated from Calcutta. Keshav Chandra Sen, Vijay Krishna Goswami, they were the people behind it. They were all very famous people. What happened was, when the British ruled India, The impact was so strong on the Vedic way of life. These people thought about a way how to deal with the situation. So what they started doing was that they started saying whatever is in the Vedic scriptures is not all 100% correct. Then they started taking a little bit from Bible, little bit from Bhagavad Gita, and try to create something new of their own. This happens all the time, isn't it? Religion, spiritual life, according to time, circumstances, we keep changing. So that's what they also did, exactly the same thing. Little bit of Bible and little bit of Bhagavad Gita, they mixed up all these things and created a new process. That is this Brahma Samajam. Brahma Samajam did that. And then they invited a famous sannyasi from the Acharya traditions, from the Sampradaya traditions. So they invited him to come and see their worship. There's loads of people who are there. And when the bell starts ringing, they will all together worship. Everybody was worshipping together. This is their system. So that worship was such that all of them will join together. Everyone was very steady. And they were also saying that all these Hindu temples are all very dirty. When you go, they're full of oil and water and not maintained very well. Whereas this one, very modern built and built in a very posh way. So everybody feels it's very clean, nice inside. Whereas if you go to the ancient temples which are standing there for 2,000-3,000 years, you won't find they were not built according to the modern, all made in stone and all the thousands of years, oil and stone, oil and water, everything would have come through that. And nobody has bothered to clean it to that extent and maintain it. So it was like that. So, and not only that, if you go to the temples, what happened? Full of noise everywhere. Isn't it? Our temples, if you go, what do you find? You go to any temples, you can see that the noise level is so high. So many people going this way, that way, and all sorts of activities, cooking going on, and people are making garlands and lectures and all sorts of things goes on inside the temple, and a lot of noise level is also very high. So these people are saying, Brahma Samajis were saying like that at the time, that this is not good. We should be very quiet inside. The temple should be very managed well. And so they built their own temples. Brahma Samajam built their own temples. And everything was very quiet. Everybody came on time, all dressed very well in the suit, and entered inside and sat there. And they started their meditation on time every day and finished the meditation on time. In this way they started there. They presented the everything to people. So a lot of young people got attracted to this. Seeing this, because that's how you can easily pollute somebody's mind in this way, isn't it? By telling people certain things. So after this whole meditation process was over, they asked this sannyasi who has come from the Sampradaya system. When I say Sampradaya system, means Acharya system. They asked him, what do you think about that? And so the sannyasi's reply was like this. This is a very interesting reply he says to him. He says, in the temple where I go normally, before the offering is made to the deity, before the offering is made to the deity, what do? They bring the offering into the deity room, isn't it? Then they close the doors of the, because when the offering is going on, he has to make the prayers for the offering to the deity. And so he closes the door and all the people are waiting outside. So, similarly, in our temple where I go, there is a lot of monkeys there, he says. He says to them, there's a lot of monkeys there. So what these monkeys do, they will climb onto all the top places, the trees next around that, and sit there as though they are in meditation. They are in meditation. As soon as the offering is over, doors are open, and they put this offering outside, the first thing they will jump and pick what they want and they will run. So he says to them that their meditation I have seen. He says, those people who are coming to the temple first time, they will think, oh, these monkeys, what an amount of devotion they have got. Because they are not moving, they are so quiet about it. Similarly, he says here, I have never seen this devotion anywhere else, he says. And they will keep on looking to the deity room when the doors are going to open. So those people know that immediately the doors are open after the offering is made, prasadam will be kept outside. And they are getting ready for that, to put the hand in straight away into that. Similarly, he said, this meditation is also like that. That was his comments on that. because you are doing something, vasana chayam has not happened. The vasanas are inside. You are coming and forcefully you are doing some meditation for an hour and you are going home after that. But where is your vasana? What has happened to your vasanas? Nothing has happened. But inside the meditation is going on about various sense objects or sense gratification, what you have thought about that. So, natural way, the vasanas will happen inside. And to tell this, to talk about this, there is a verse in the... it says here that... Vivega Chudamani 164, it says... Brahmagaradaya sadastitadaya nirmukta bahyarthadi yanyavo ida bhogya bhoga kalano nidralu nidra alambavalambada. So it says here that uparadestu paramavadihi, that you can, it says here that freedom from all sense of reality, of the external sense objects, on account of his always remaining merged in the truth, only seeming to enjoy sense objects as offered by others, like one sleepy or like a child, beholding the world as one seen in dreams, and having cognition of it at chance moments. Rare indeed is such a man, the enjoyer of the fruits of endless merit, and he blessed alone is blessed and esteemed on earth. So he says here, vasana vasananudayo bhogye vairagyasya tathavadhi aham bhaved ayabhavo bodhasya paramavadhi leena vrityu anutpatti maryado uparastusa. In other words, he says here, when the sense objects are not exciting anymore any desire inside, then the extreme perfection of knowledge is the absence of any impulsion of the egoistic idea. And the limit of self-withdrawal is reached when the mind functions that have been merged appear no more. So here, Krishna, the word in the Shastram is called uparati. Uparati means this, that... We have enjoyed a lot of sense gratification in this world, isn't it? A lot of sense gratification we have enjoyed in this world. And if a situation happens inside us that we do not develop that vasana anymore to enjoy those senses again, to such an extent if it is extinguished inside, then just like a oven or a cooker where you are using firewood. If the firewood is completely burned inside and then it cannot burn anymore, there is no more possibility of fire. Nirindhana ivanala, it says. That there is no indhanam. Indhanam means fuel. Ivanala means the fire. That a fire which has completely extinguished without any more fuel in there, in a similar situation, if it vasana shunyam, if there is no more vasana inside, which will not compel you to work anymore or to go after sense gratification anymore, and that state, that is called naishkarmasthiti. That's called naishkarmasthiti. Remember, naishkarmasthiti, Krishna is saying, just by giving up outside activities, you are not reaching the naishkarma state. When do you reach the naishkarma state? When the vasanas inside us completely burned away, and even after, if a desire, you externally, if you are prompted to act, but because the vasanas have gone from inside, you do not get trapped again. Vasana shunyam. In other words, completely emptied inside vasana. That state is called naishkarmasthiti. Everything is internal, not external. That's the important thing. Externally, you can act anything. Anybody can do anything in this world, isn't it? Externally. 8-year-old man will act like a hero in the movie, fully dressed up. That you can do. But is inside that same person? No, he's 8-year-old man. Isn't it? A lot of film stars in India are like that. They have acted so many films, 60 years. At the age of 70 and 80 also, they're acting like a hero in the films. Mm-hmm. So many like that. In Hindi film, Tamil films, and Bengali films, all you will see this. so many of them have become 70 years, 80 years old, but they are still heroes. So that is possible. That you can do in the film by makeup and by using the camera, you can create that sensation in the people's mind, isn't it? But Krishna is saying, Naishkarma Siddhi is not like that. Naishkarma Siddhi is like this. He says, external what you are doing is not important, but internal vasanas, if it is completely burnt off, it does not develop again. Vasanas don't develop again. Even if there is provocation from outside, you have given up that desire, your desire has gone away to engage in that particular sense activity, then you can say you have reached the Naishkarma Siddhi. That is the Siddhi what he is talking about here. So, vasanan udayo bhogye. Bhoga means sense enjoyment. And when the sense objects excite you anymore, when the sense objects excite you anymore, no more desire, then is a culmination of dispassion. That is uparati. That is the culmination. Vairagyasya tathavati. That is called vairagyam. Not that vairagyam is that forcefully I have done something on myself, not to enjoy anymore anything. That's not considered to be vairagyam. That vairagyam, they call it as the smashana vairagyam, isn't it? Or prasava vairagyam, also they call it. In two times, men get vairagyam when they go to the cemetery for the funeral. Women get vairagyam when they deliver the baby. These are the two times when we get vairagyam in this life. For the men in the cemetery, after all, what is life? It's all going to end up like this. As soon as you walk out from the cemetery, get into the car, you've forgotten all that. Again, back to the square one, isn't it? Similarly, the women also, when they have the baby, they'll say, we don't want any more babies, it's too much. But what happens? After 12 months, again she's pregnant. So what to do? So this is what he's talking about. That vasanudayo bhoge vairagyasya tathavadhi. That if a desire inside is not there anymore, vasana has gone away. Not the action. Vasanas have gone away. They left you anymore. In that case, that is vairagyam. It is called vairagyam. Ahambhavo udayabhavo bodhasya paramavadhi. Ahambhavam is not there anymore. That I am the doer. That thing is also not there. Ego is also not there. Then, lina vrittai anutpatti maryadob ubarastusa. You can see that if you are... that self-withdrawal from everything has reached that state that he has become situated in the self. Therefore, he has no more desires. That will only happen when the self-realization happens, all these things. So, all these things are spoken to stress the point of vairagyam. Why is vairagyam stressed so much? Only through vairagyam is there will be firmness inside, dhritaha of the knowledge will happen inside. Like you can see sometimes in the Shastram, they use very, very strong words, isn't it, about us. Like we remember, Sunday we were talking about Shukarajavad. Uddhava said, Shuava Kharam Ajam. It's not spoken to insult us. Because if you don't use such strong language, we won't wake up. In order to create vairagyam in us, Uddhava is comparing us to that and to ask us, are we anything different than that? Only to prove the point, not with the intention of saying everyone is a shava kharam ajam. No, that's not the idea. Idea is by saying that way only we will start looking inwards a little bit. Otherwise, it will be always external. That's the reason behind it. Vasananu udayo bhoge vairagyasya tathavadhi and ahambhavo udayabhavo bhodasya paramavadhi. Then, this is the important thing. Vasana udayo bhoge. First of all, vasana is not developed anymore for bhogam. Bhogya means for sense enjoyment. Vairagyasya tathavadi. That is proper vairagyam inside. Aham bhavo udaya bhavo. Ahambhavam is not Udayabhavam. That means Ahambhavam is not developing anymore inside. I am doing this. Bhodasya Paramavadi. That is proper perfection of Bhodam inside consciousness. Lina Vrittai Anutpatti Maryado Uparyastusa. Then Lina Vritti, then complete dissolve of his ego once inside, and that is called it as Uparati. So these are the Jnani's point of view. All these things matters very much. But here, what we are discussing was that about this Nirindana Yuvanala, that means that state where there is no more Indhanam or fuel inside to enjoy senses, Vasana Shunyam. And Krishna call it as Naishkarma Sthiti. If that Vasana Kshayam or the extinguishing this Vasanas inside, if that has happened inside, then after that, even if you engage in your body in all kinds of activities all the time, inside is very meditation is going on about the soul. So you can see what happens. Outside is controlled from inside. So if inside comes under control, then outside, whatever you do will not be affected. Now what we are trying to do, from outside we are trying to control the inside. It won't work. From inside you have to control the outside. Isn't it? Because the control is inside, not outside. And the vasanas are the control inside. So if the vasanas goes away, and then even if you do with the body, that is vyavaharam. Whatever you do in this life, in this body, with the body, mind and the senses and all, it will not touch inside, because inside is already come under control. So that's why the sages gave importance to that, rather than the outside activity. So, there will be always peace inside, there will be meditation inside, and there will be experience of the soul. Jnanis are always in that meditation. Jnanis, you may find them, they'll keep their eyes open, but vasanas have gone from inside. Whereas a person who has a lot of vasanas inside, even if he sits in the lotus position with his eyes closed, it won't help. The jnani, on the other hand, because the vasanas have gone inside, whichever position he sits and whatever activity he performs in this world, it will not affect him. But a person who has a lot of vasanas inside, even if he sits in the lotus position, Padmasanam, in the lotus position, and closed his eyes, inside the vasanas will be continuously working inside. So externally you can control the senses, but inside this vasana will come up very strongly inside. And deliberately, if you, in your vyavaharam, in your external activities, Krishna is saying there, raga dvesham will develop. Isn't it? When we talked about sthitapragnyatvam, Krishna told us the way how to escape from that. Do you remember that? In the second chapter, when we discussed that, Krishna said, in sthitapragnyatvam state, how to avoid the ragadvesham inside. Isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Krishna says there. Then, ragadvesha vimuktaistu. Action is not important. What effect the action is creating in us is more important. Isn't it? Action, so many people are in action in this world. What does it matter? That doesn't matter. What matters is, what is the impact of that action in us? So that is ragadvesham. And Krishna told us how to escape from ragadvesham. Let me see if anybody remembers what we discussed that time. How to free from ragadvesham.
Don't be attached to it.
So
if you're doing something, you remember that.
Yeah. Ragadvesham, Krishna was saying there, that why did ragadvesham develop in the first instance? Because there is a verses there in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see there. Krishna is saying, ragadvesham has developed because you had vasanas inside, and the vasana started working, and therefore to something you started thinking this is good and this is bad. Krishna's solution was that when good things happen, if you don't rejoice, when bad things happen, you won't suffer. This is the solution Krishna has given us there. Remember? That ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. When we get excited, when something good happens in this world, Good means materially some happiness comes in life. Krishna is saying, if you don't allow the mind to fall into that trap, then when distress comes also, you won't fall into that trap. Because they are all based on the mind. This is analysis of the self. This is how Krishna is saying to escape from this trap. So similarly, Siddhapratnyatvam also, Krishna is saying here, that if you think that nothing has to come from outside. So, ragadvesham sukha-dukham. That how to wipe it out from inside the mind. Ragadvesham causes sukha-dukham, isn't it? Ragam or dvesham, both causes happiness or distress. Say you are attached to someone, and attachment to some ragam or anger with someone, dvesham will happen. So both has to be taken out in the jagrat state, in the vacant state. So Krishna is saying here that if you act in such a way that complete surrendering to Krishna everything, all these things related to our actions in this world, and chanting the holy name, meditation, and doing service to Krishna in that way, little by little, if the ragadvesham is taken out from inside, meditation you don't have to do. Meditation will naturally happen. Bhagavad Gita is not very favor of performing meditation in a mechanical way. Meditation should come in a natural way from inside. And the way that to happen is Krishna is saying here that all your surrender, first thing, all our actions to Krishna. That means to work in such a way that Krishna is doing the karmam through us. Actually, Krishna is doing the karmam through us, through this body, through this mind, through this intelligence, through the senses. There, not allow the false ego to develop, fully conscious that Krishna is doing this through me. Good or bad, what comes from that is not my concern. It is Krishna's in that way, if one takes it that way. And then at the same time, sadhana. Sadhana is important. Sadhana, you can't wipe it out. Sadhana in the sense, chanting the holy name. Why it is important? Because Krishna says there, any spiritual activity, if you do not take Krishna's shelter and do it, it won't work. If you see in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse there. Jaramarana mokshaya mamashrite yatandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. Look at that verse. You'll see that meaning of that. Jaramarana mokshaya. I don't know which number it is. I think it is in the 7th chapter, if I'm not wrong. Jaramarana mokshaya. The verse is 729. You see that word? It says here, Janamarana Mokshaya Mamashrite Yatandiye Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishnam Adhyatmam Karma Chagilam. Intelligent person who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death, take refuge in me in devotional service. In other words, whatever devotional service we are doing, if it's not done in taking Krishna's shelter, it will not work. That's that word, Mamashritya. Mamashritya Yatantiye, Krishna is saying here. That means complete surrender to Krishna and then do sadhana. Only in that way it will work. Not that I've done my sadhana, Krishna, you give me the result. That's not going to work. Taking Krishna's shelter, you have to do the sadhana. That's the important word here. Mama ashrite yatandiye. Taking my shelter, all these people, intelligent person who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death, they take refuge in me in devotional service. Krishna say that. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental and fruitive activities. Transcendental and fruitive activities. Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishnam Adhyatmam Karma Chakilam. So you can see, somewhere you will notice certain important things. Krishna mentions like that. Anything what is done without that will not have any effect. So here also, Krishna is saying here, so in the vacant state, so the dhyanam or meditation will happen in a natural way if it is done in this way. So in the Jagrat state or in the vacant state, if we manage to wipe out the vasanas inside, in natural way, dhyanam will come. Meditation will come inside. At the moment, we are forcefully trying to meditate on Krishna, isn't it? Meditation on Krishna, we try to do. But it's not working. Why? The vasanas are inside. They are blocking that. The vasanas are blocking that. So once the vasanas are burned out inside, Krishna is saying, dhyanam will happen in a natural way. You don't have to separately work for it. You have to separately work for it. Krishna is saying, otherwise, if you forcefully sit there for meditation, what will happen? And if you control your senses of action, manasasmaran, says mind will get involved. Inside, mind will be thinking about the sense objects. Such a person, Krishna is calling mithyachara samuchyate. That person who has forcefully done things and he is acting in such a way that inside mind has not withdrawn from the sense objects. This you can see many times in many people's life. This happens, isn't it? Suddenly, somebody who has been a devotee or a sannyasi or a guru for 30, 40 years, and he has been doing everything, initiating disciples, he has been busy with various projects, and everybody was telling him how great devotee he was. One day, suddenly, one fine morning, he throws away everything and goes after a girl or goes after some money, cash, and he leaves. Why is it? That's answer. Mithyajarasa uchyate. That's not good. That's not right thing to do in spiritual life. Conflict, because there's a conflict going on inside all the time. Am I doing the right thing? He's not sure about it. And the vasanas are so strong, when they get the right opportunity, they'll kick you straight. Put you down. And you go with the vasana then. It has happened so many times. You can see that. It happening again and again. And answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is saying the reason for that is, before your vasanas have gone away, you have artificially took up some role which you are not there yet. And artificially you are presenting to the world, you are this and you are that. And you can go for some time, but one day you will fall. You will fall. Because inside meditation is going on without your knowledge. You see, externally he's doing everything. Everybody is thinking, oh, he's doing the right thing. But internally, that meditation is getting stronger. Am I doing the right thing? Oh, I miss my householder life. I miss my love in this world. I miss my family life. All this is inside burning. Externally, danda is there, shikha is there, saffron is there. What good is it? So these are the subtle side of the karma yoga's important factor. So here, mithyachara samuchyate. So that's why Krishna is saying here, you can't call him a jnani or a yogi, such a person. On the other hand, one who has controlled the senses externally, at the same time inside, I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer, and all the time absorbed in the thoughts of the soul. And if you keep on looking, thinking in that direction on a deeper level, and continuously feel, not allowing that state to develop inside, I am the karta, or I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, even if the body is engaged in activities, there is no trouble. Even you may not be a sannyasi. But what we need is shanti. Shanti means peace inside. Purnada, perfection inside. And I am meditating on something, not to show it to others, but to bring that peace inside ourselves. And that is what we have to be looking for. I am doing, that thought is not inside at all. And if our attention is always on the soul, all these activities will not affect us, will not influence us. On the other hand, whether we get the result or not, we are still in the perfectional stage. Otherwise, we will become beggars outside, begging outside. What does beggar means? One who has no happiness in his actions. one who has happiness in his actions, and they are the people who are wandering around for begging in this world. Maybe they don't have begging bowl in the hand, but inside there is a begging bowl. What is a begging bowl? Nothing but desires. Desires have developed inside. If you look into many of the glorification stotrams in the Sanskrit, you will see this word dehi, dehi, dehi. In so many places you will see dehi, dehi. And because we kept on saying this dehi, 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 the body comes, deham, 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 keeps coming to us again and again. So that is a subtle thing. I don't know whether you caught that. Dehi means give me this, give me this, give me this. This is dehi. So this dehi business is going on. Praying to Krishna, give me this, give me this, give me this. Dehi, 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 dehi. Annam dehi, Aishwaryam dehi, Dhanam dehi, this dehi, that dehi. So if you keep on doing this dehi, the deham will keep coming. Because of this desires, we have to accept another body. Isn't it? More material bodies will keep coming to us. So that's why it is said here that material body keeps coming. But once this begging stops inside, this desiring inside is nothing but begging. Once this begging stops inside, we become perfection comes inside, purnada. There is nothing to come from outside. It's all misunderstanding that so much we are getting from outside and I'll be happy. Happiness will only come from inside, not from outside. That's the point he is making here. I have misunderstood that I am this material body. And I am misunderstood I am so and so, some identification in this world. That is the cause of my distress in this world. That is the cause of my distress in this world. That I misunderstood I am this body. And I misunderstood that my happiness will come from outside. No. Actually, who am I? What is my real identity? Am I this body? While on the other hand, the body is continuously changing. It is getting destroyed. Mind, always changing. Always bringing new questions. Buddhi, intelligence, it has got a growth and it has got a weakness as well. None of this is me. But behind all these things, there is one thing which does not change. All the time, it is situated in the same platform. And that comes in the form of consciousness inside, that state where we experience what we are. I am that state of consciousness. So all these things are available to us already. There is nothing new to come. Mahabhudo, there is a word in the Vishnu Sahasranamam. Krishna is addressed like this. Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. These are the two words used there, referring to Krishna. What does that mean? If you study Sahasranamam, you will see many words with very subtle meanings behind it. Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. What is that? The great Nidhi. Nidhi means, you know what it means, a treasure. What that treasure is, Krishna is inside us already. That treasure inside is that. That is Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. He is the greatest form, present inside in the form of a treasure. If we give attention to that, it is complete in itself. It doesn't require anything from outside. And there is no karma will affect that either. And our material body, whatever karma it engages in, and if he is engaged in all kinds of activities, if one has known this, realized this, even if he does not execute any meditation, there is no problem after that. Because once you have realized that truth, then you can act in this world, whatever body is doing it, mind is doing it, intelligence is doing it, it won't touch that thing. Because it cannot be touched by anything. But prior to that, we have to realize that that's what we are. That's the important thing. So till that realization happens, all these things are necessary. Krishna is saying, if the realization happens, that is that substance inside, Mahabhudo Mahanidhi. That Krishna inside, that is what exactly our real identity is. If that comes to it, then what will happen is, nothing what the body does, mind does, nothing will have any impact on us. We are escaped or released ourselves. Om Glory to Srila Prabhupada. We'll see tomorrow. Yeah.